Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue in our series looking at John's first letter. Last week we saw how John gives us warnings about those who try to deceive us and lead us astray from God's path. This week we see how John encourages and reaffirms us in our identity as God's children. So let me read from 1 John 3, 1 to 10. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he may take away our sins. And in him is no sin. The one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or knows him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, and nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. There's quite a lot there, but let's have a look and see what John is talking about. So chapter 3 begins with John marvelling at the wonderful gift of God's love. He states, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Here John is expressing his absolute astonishment and wonder of this gift of life. When John says, "What great," in the Greek, he uses an unusual word to express the utterly foreign nature of God's love. This word, potopen, literally means "of what country." So John is saying that God's love is so unusual, so unearthly, an out of this world kind of love that we can barely understand it, or comprehend that this love has adopted us as God's children. I think so often we take God's love for granted. We are often very casual about the way we speak of God's love. We acknowledge that God loves us and then we just go about the rest of our day, ignoring how amazing that is and refusing to let it impact us or change the way we live. So let's just pause for a moment and let it sink in. To truly take time to marvel with John at the awesome love that God lavishes upon us. This is a love that is so unearthly, so out of this world that it is beyond our comprehension. It's a love beyond measure. And God lavishes this love upon us. That word lavish speaks of abundance and extravagance. God pours out his indescribable love extravagantly upon us. Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa talked about God's love when he said, "The love of God is the answer to all the whys in the Bible, the why of creation, the why of the incarnation, the why of redemption. If the written word of the Bible could be changed into a spoken word and become one single voice, This voice, more powerful than the roaring of the sea, would cry out, "The Father loves you." I love that last bit. The voice would cry out, more powerful than anything we hear, "The Father loves you." We often minimize just how awesome God's love is, because it's so big we can't understand it, we can't comprehend it, so we try and fit it into our little box in our small minds. But God's love is beyond all description. This immeasurable love has brought about our adoption into God's family. Adoption is a permanent changing of one's status and identity. When we are adopted by God, our whole identity changes as we now become children of God. God makes a permanent claim to us. We are not just fostered, we are fully adopted as sons and daughters of God. John makes it clear that our identity is permanently changed as he says that the world no longer recognises us because of our relationship with the Father. The world doesn't know us when we become children of God because the world does not know the Father. God's great love is lavished upon us and we become a new creation. We are born again as children of God. Because we have become children of God, our identity is in God. And this impacts our lives, or at least it should. Because who we are, our identity, our personhood, informs how we live. Our personhood is inseparable from how we live. John is clear that our identity as children of God should impact the things we do. So he moves from talking about our identity to talking about sin. Because we are God's children, we should reject sin in our lives. He says, "No one who lives in him keeps on sinning." Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds impossible. We know we all sin. John even reminded us of this at the beginning of his letter. So how can he now talk about no one who lives in him sins? He also says the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. So does that mean that we are of the devil because we sin? Well, let us remember the context that John is talking about. John is addressing people who had begun to believe that only spirit or soul mattered. One of the groups that were influencing John's faith community were the Gnostics. Physical things, which obviously include our physical bodies, were evil. And so they believed that the way they lived in this world didn't matter, as physical matter had no influence on the soul. So they could do whatever they wanted in their physical bodies, whether good or bad, and they believed it would make no difference for the state of their soul. These people were claiming to follow Jesus while also choosing to chase after every sinful pleasure they desired. They claimed this superior spirituality whilst also living immoral lives. And John rejects this, reminding us that Jesus came in his physical, fully human body, fully man, fully God, to take away our sins by choosing to suffer and die in our place, even though he personally had no sin. If Jesus came physically into the world, the physical world matters. And so John says, if we want to be united with Christ, we need to imitate him and turn away from our desire to sin. So here John is not saying that if we sin at all, we are completely rejected by God, because we know that Jesus' sacrifice has allowed us to be adopted by God. Instead, John is talking about a mindset. In the Ashbury Bible commentary, it says, "Sin is an attitude before it is a behaviour, the latter being an expression of the former. At its root, sin is essentially antagonism to God that refuses to acknowledge his sovereignty. So when John talks about sin, he is talking about the attitude, the mindset of antagonism towards God, the mindset that refuses to submit to God. And so if we continue to choose to follow our own way, then we cannot truly claim to be God's child, because we are not imitating our Father like children imitate their parents. John is not saying that we no longer sin. Of course we do. And we know that we do constantly mess up. But instead, he is saying that we are children of God. And so we are influenced by God's grace and love. We have been born again into Christ's sacrifice. The influence of Jesus will change our hearts, minds, and souls. Our mindset changes from doing whatever we desire to do to trying to do what God desires us to do. The one who is sinning is from, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. That's talking about that mindset that stays focused on our own desires, our own wants, and rejects anything that is of God. When we are born again into God's family, we allow God by the Holy Spirit to change our mindset. But we are also still growing. For as long as we live, we remain works in progress. John says, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are God's children now, already new creations, but we are still growing. We will not be fully transformed until Jesus comes again. I really like what John says in this verse, because it's a reminder that when Jesus returns, our unity with him will be instantly and unmistakably apparent to all. Our very appearance will mirror the inner unity we have with God. How amazing is that? It's such a beautiful image to hold on to. But that beautiful image is for a time in the future. In the present time, we are still growing and we are still works in progress. That means that we will mess up. We will rebel against God. But if we keep our eyes fixed on God, then we can trust that God will continue to lead us back to his path. God's seed remains in us. And so when we do mess up, God will continue to grow in us and direct us back to him. That beautiful image of being united with God and having that appearance of unity helps to provide an almost magnetic force that draws us closer into the family of God, drawing us closer to unity with that divine likeness. We are constantly being transformed as we grow closer to God. Children imitate their parents. We pick up mannerisms, habits, characteristics from our parents. And of course, the closer a child is to their parents, the more they will pick up. So I am very close to my mum. In fact, she's not just my mum, I would say she's my friend. I love spending time with my mum. But this also means that I have picked up quite a lot of her mannerisms. There'll be times when I'm with my mum and we will echo each other in the things we say or do, which I admit is quite embarrassing for me as I realise quite how much I copy her. I use phrases that I realise have come straight out of my mum's mouth. John reminds us that we should be copying and imitating our Father. We should be so close to God that we cannot help but imitate him more and more. And so we should fix our eyes on God, so that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. We grow in divine likeness the more we spend time with God. Have you ever met someone who you feel almost radiates the presence of God? I can guarantee that they were not born like that. It is through a lifetime of spending time in God's presence that they're able to imitate him in such a way. We too have the opportunity to radiate God's presence by spending time with him ourselves. So God loves us with an incomprehensible, immeasurable, awesome love. This love is demonstrated by the fact that we are children of God, permanently adopted into God's family. This is our identity. I am a child of God. And because that is our identity, our lives should be forever changed by this. Our mindset on life should change from one of a desire to please ourselves to a desire to follow the will of God. We will sin. We will rebel against God, but we need to continue to repent and turn back to him. Let us imitate our Father, to purify ourselves as he is pure. For when we imitate God, others will want to know him too. Let's pray. Father, it is such a wonderful blessing and privilege to be able to call you Father, to know that we are children of you. Lord, let us never forget the absolute wonder and joy of our identity in you, of the fact that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to rescue us from the punishment of sin that was ours. You rescued us from the destruction of the devil. And so, Lord, we want to draw closer and closer to you, to become one with you, taking on your divine likeness. Lord, help us to truly imitate you in all areas of our lives. We know that we are works in progress, God, but help us to continue to walk side by side with you so that we can continue growing and being transformed by your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.